Season 2, Episode 11, Vishi Vashi Vinny.
This is where Vinny shines.
This episode opens on Webster talking to Simone. Simone goes in without Solomon's
approval. Already breaking rules from the get-go.
Simone, he doesn't play by... He plays by his own rules, Kyle.
He plays by solving the case, Kirk. His rules, that's one rule. Solve the case.
That's
how he lives his rules.
And it shows that Simone is actually good because he establishes that he was in the car.
But he also establishes a comfort with him.
And he says, what did you gather of this guy from being in the car?
Let's him describe himself, but anonymously.
And at one point the guy says, the guy who did this is not crazy. Which is important. Because that guy is basically admitting, yeah, whoever this killer is, I don't think he's crazy. Which...
So you're establishing, like, sympathy.
Yeah, establishing sympathy with a character that, everything I've heard is a pretty horrible person that kills couples with guns and now strangulation stabbings.
But what's awesome, the rapport between...
The Colbert rapport?
Oh, I miss that show. But the rapport between Putnam and Sipowicz is what makes that scene really good.
Or Simone. Between Putnam and Simone.
Simone and Putnam. The way that they deal with each other and the way that they play off each other is really good. It makes that scene work.
And in my opinion. And George Putnam's character thinks he's getting over on Simone. Like, because he thinks he's being smarter than Simone when really Simone is getting him to talk about
himself. Simone's playing him and Putnam doesn't get it.
And then, of course, Solomon comes in and gets all pissy.
This is where they have the pissy match, and he's like, isn't this my case? This is the part where that bugged me, because he does this, like, heel click, and, like, scurries off like a little fucktard. Because he says something, like, he goes, isn't this my case? And we're trying to solve, like, the captain or something is like, we're just trying to solve this case. He's like, that's what I'm trying to do in there. So are we establishing that it's mine? He's like, this is yours. Simone steps back and goes, thank you, sir. And he like does a heel click and like saunters off like a little dickbag. And that part bugged me so much.
And I think this is the scene where he says, look, I'm dealing with a sequence. I got a long-term thing with this guy. Which it's like, what have you actually done so far?
And Simone gets mad because he runs out and he yells at he's not yelling at his lieutenant. He's yelling his frustration, and he yells at him. They have Putnam in there. He's the killer, and he better not lose him.
Mm-hmm.
And all Fancy says is wait it out, which is foreshadowing.
Because he knows that Putnam's only in there and hasn't called a lawyer because he wants to, as he's put, strut.
Yeah.
He wants to prove that he's smarter than everyone, so he's like, let's let him think he is, and then he'll slip up. And also, in that conversation is when he mentions that his apartment's hot.
Yeah.
He also, like, talks about how he has no family, and talks about this, and actually talks about himself, which is stuff he's going to use on him later.
Mm-hmm.
Vinny comes into Fancy's office, and he's freaking out because Haverhill's on his way, and Haverhill wants to know when they're going to get to the plan that they set up. Him, Vinny, and Haverhill to trick Fancy. So Vinny is like trying to like make it seem like, oh yeah, like let's set it up right now. Like you're agreeing to the bogus story, and then Haverhill could walk in, and it looks like I've done it.
Haverhill mentioned something at the end of the conversation where he's like, "Oh, is there anything special I should know about this?" Like trying to get Fancy to give him more info so he can use it against him.
They get the go-ahead to get the weapons, and Sipowicz and Vinny go to get the dummy weapons. And Sipowicz tells Vinny,
Slivowicz, as Vinny calls him one time.
It's a great scene because Sipowicz and Vinny start talking, and Sipowicz says, hey, I understand that Haverhill and Fancy kind of have you in this little ping pong match going on. And he goes, what, do you want to get on the take too? And he says, look, here's the deal. I don't care how this works out, but I could see how you'd play both sides. And if Fancy wrote this, if Fancy comes up short, I'm going to break all the bones in your hands and feet.
Yeah. That's funny.
And Vinny said, there's no reason to go throwing around empty threats like that. He's like, I'm not joking with you.
They have a good rapport, man. It's so good.
And then Sipowicz, they get the fake gun, and the guy says, what are you going to use this for? And he's like, oh, occasionally we go down to the ACLU and make them look like we're going to fry all of them.
Yeah, oh my god.
Which is like, what? How is that okay to say? But, yeah, that was ridiculous.
And they all just chuckle. They're like, huh? Funny joke from the old racist man.
Oh, Benita wants that rain check. Simone gave her a rain check at the end of end of the episode.
I love how that you wrote your like memorization sentence was Benita wants that rain check.
That's literally what I wrote down. Benita wants that rain check. It's clear that she wants Simone hard because she's there at the house because they think they have Webster. Also, she's
everywhere.
And
this feels a little bit Dexterish to me, like Dexter stole this, because this seems like whatever season's with John Lithgow, and that reporter starts following Quinn around and shit.
Oh, the Trinity Killer.
Anyways, and then this episode that has to do with the air conditioner.
Yeah, Simone. Yeah,
that's very Dexterish too.
Yeah, that's true. That is very Dexterish. I didn't even think about that. Simone, because he's
Steelers.
Because he's locked out of the room.
Can't get in.
For like a couple minutes, he watches from the two-way glass. He watches Simone, he watches Solomon just like suck so hard.
Yeah, and he keeps saying things to himself, Simone.
And, like, because what's so dumb is he goes, we have proof that you lived 5 minutes away from this murder when it happened on this date. He's like, where 16
were you? 16 years ago or something like that. Yeah.
He's like, and where were you on this date? And he goes, how am I supposed to know? And that's such a, like, good question. Because when you're dealing with, like, you're dealing with multiple murders like this, and they just ask about a random date and time.
Like, yeah, that is true.
Like,
how are you supposed to say?
Where were you, 10 years ago at 12 o'clock p.m. Well, I don't know. That's an honest answer that anybody would give. So that guy's a dumbass, and he keeps insulting him. He's like, "You're just a scumbag," and it's like, okay.
He keeps trying to be tough with them, and then it's not working because he's not being smart tough. He's being dumb, and Putnam's getting to play him.
So Simone gets pissy, and he grabs Medavoy and says, we're going to go look at that apartment again.
Yeah, he needed to clear his head and look at the situation differently.
And he didn't technically have permission to go do that. He just did it with Medavoy.
Yeah.
And Medavoy talked to the door guy, the door uniform.
Yeah, well, Simone was dicking with evidence.
And Simone's just, like, walking into this house, and it's a very, you know, just like a random dude.
Simone knew what he was doing when he got into that house. That motherfucker was like that. He left going, I'm gonna go fuck with this house and look through shit. he was ready to go. He had it in his mind to go. He just like cased it out real quick and then built up his courage and then talked to Medavoy. These cops don't follow the rules a lot. I hope we've noticed that.
No, they play by their own rules, and they got to do what they got to do to get the case to win. So Simone comes back with this zip gun, and it's the type of gun that he must have used. And he has a meeting with Solomon, I guess the chief of D's, I think it is, and mm-hmm. Solomon, Simone, chief of D's,
Fancy,
and at one point he goes, found it at a second search over the site. And Solomon goes, who authorized the second search? And the chief of D's goes, oh, do you want us to go redo it so you could find it then?
Yeah.
And then they both leave the interview room, or not the interview room, the office, and they go to the interview room, and the guy goes, how's your guy in the room? And Fancy goes, better than your guy.
Yeah. That was like, that response reminded me of Dad.
What, better than your guy response?
Like, that's something he would say. Like, I feel like something he would say, like, oh, better than your guy, or better than your team. Yeah, and then he goes in there, and when he gets in there, Putnam kind of knows that he's won, in a sense, that first battle, because he kind of, like, doesn't he mention something to Simone? Like, oh, what happened to the other guy? He couldn't do it?
The other guy comes in with him. Because Solomon asks, can I be in the room? And he said, sure. And he's like, do you want me in the room? He's like, not really. He's like, just don't get on my toes. And they walk in, and he senses the shift immediately, and George Putnam says, which one of you is going to get me a Coke? And Simone's like, we're not getting you a Coke now.
Yeah.
And then there's a point where Putnam goes, I guess you're the boss. And that point is when it's like, okay, Simone's got the room. Simone has complete control of the situation. And it's pretty rad.
It's good. It's just really good the way that they play off each other. Like, I can't explain it other than that's what makes those scenes. Like, us talking about it seems really boring. talking about what happened, but it's not what happened. It's how they played it out. It's how they played it out describing everything. That's what made it cool. If you think about it, NYPD Blue is basically a show of, like, we see someone dead or hurt, and we never really see how they did it. We hear people describe it.
Yeah. All the time.
That's all it is. But it's written so fucking well. It's so crazy. It's so good.
The armored acted
stupendously.
The armored car guys, where they're at right now, is Sipowicz goes to deliver the gun, and he realizes there's a whole nother gun there. That's a real gun. That's a real gun.
That's a big badass gun.
And they both get a little hot because Sipowicz kind of gives them the implication, like, hey, you need to give me, like, extra money if this shit goes south, because then I don't have it to bring back to who I got it from. And the Swayze brother pulls out a gun on him, and they kind of freak out a little bit. Everybody gets a little tense. And I think Vinny, realizing how serious the situation is, he actually kind of calms everybody down with the lisping guy. The lisping guy comes in, like, with a situation where he's like, hey, how about we give you a little extra, assuming we get it taken care of?
Give me a little extra.
And then they said,
give me a little extra, we'll take when you're taking care of this.
That's a very mean, horrible portrayal of a person who lisps. Thank you, Kyle.
That's what he sounded like. He sounded like Tyson. You
only
got a little lift.
Anyway, Vinny does that thing where he says, look, if they succeed, we succeed. That's the way we gotta think about it. And Sipowicz kind of hands him over the dummy ammo and keeps on walking. And now that's led to a discussion with Haverhill and all that, and all the guys, because they're like, well, we could just pop them early. And they're like, oh, but then all we have them is on the gun charges, and those don't mean anything.
Yeah, they're trying to figure out, because of the new gun,
which
what they're going to do, because they don't want to get the person hurt. And then someone out of nowhere just comes up with, like, bam, 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 we're fine. And I was like, then what was the big deal?
Well, Sipowicz is the one that's like, why don't we just get a sand truck? Why don't we just get a sand truck, put it in front of that van, so even if they fire the weapon, it's going right into sand, and we flashbang everybody and take them. And what's funny is Vinny is in on that meeting. He's like, you know, ideas like that are what make this country great, as he's getting their, like, free coffee and not contributing really that much to the overall plan.
He just went to get paid.
The way the Webster story ends is Simone gets him to start talking about the murders as though he is not the one committing them. That's
he brings up shit like, to describe what you like you were in the car with him, like you were right there, you were so close, like what do you think he was thinking, like shit like that.
I didn't even write any notes because I just watched it both times I watched the episode. It slowly morphs into Putnam giving up that he did it, and then Simone goes, like, after it becomes clear that he is obviously the guy who did it, Simone goes, we gotta talk about the gun, George. Because then, at that moment, you realize he hasn't even brought up the gun, which they have on him now.
Yeah.
And they say, we gotta talk about the gun, George. And he's like, what gun? He's like, the gun you told me to look for in your air conditioning unit when you said it was cold. Or when it was hot. Yeah. And then it kind of...
It just, like, slams him in his face. He spares no expense.
He Jurassic Parks him.
Yeah, he just he just goes full throttle. He doesn't even like build it up or anything. He just shoves it all down his throat real quick.
And the weirdest part, and the part where the guy who played George Putnam, where he really kills it, he's like, why do you think he went from shooting to strangulations? And then he's like, well, I have to imagine it's a lot more intense than shooting someone. You look into their eyes as they die.
Yeah, but yeah, it's just the way he describes it.
Yeah, it's really dark and very uncomfortable. And very good, very well acted.
There's no way to describe it, like, you have to see it.
And then the line I wrote down is, what made him go from shootings to strangulations? He's like, she must have done something that really pissed him off. And he says, she kicked him in his testicles.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's...
just proving that a man will get upset if you knock him in the dick.
And that's one thing that Simone says that kind of uses his own ego against him. He says, we have to... He's like, I want to make sure that Webster's just not another weirdo.
Yeah.
And that's what sparks the guy to go, okay, well then let me tell my side of the story so that people know what I'm doing, know what my great cause is.
Yeah, because he kind of plants it in his head that he can be famous mm-hmm. for being a murderer, which is weird. And that gives the dude like a boner, and he's all about it. It's just weird. It's just weird how people live like that.
Yeah, that's very uncomfortable and not cool. So he gets him riding, and then the armored car heist goes off without a hitch. I mean, describing it is kind of a waste.
Yeah, they block him with fucking bigger cars, and they arrest them.
Throw flashbangs and throw him on the ground, and then they're going to have a press conference, and Haverhill has a huge, giant smile and boner for it, and then Fancy's like, we need to talk.
Yeah, Fancy, that's when Fancy comes with the wild card. Is that what Charlie is? Wild card.
Wild card. Wild card, bitches. And he jumps out the back of the van.
Oh my god, it's so good.
Fancy brings him into his office, and he starts playing the tape. And then Haverhill realizes how screwed he is.
And then they have like a super like racially injected conversation.
Well, he says, what he does is, Fancy says, so that's one of two things. That's either A, the prelude to the retirement speech you're going to give downstairs at this press conference, or it's going to be my opening statements at your civil trial. Which is, that's so hard. Like, that was like probably one of the hardest lines written from Fancy ever. And there's a moment where he's like, what's the big deal? Oh no, he's like, I don't mind leaving. I don't like what the department's become. He's like, what, is it me or is it everybody who's black?
But then he goes, no, I have some colored friends.
Which is like, dude, come on. When
anyone who says colored, it's like, kind of racist.
And, and he eventually leaves, and then Simone comes down the stairs and gets Benita over to the side and says, hey, you might want to save some room about catching the Webster killer. May have got a confession. Like, holla at your boy.
Yeah, here you go, now come suck my dick.
Then later, Fancy has a goodbye with Vinny, where Fancy doesn't trust him to take the check without changing the zeros.
Yeah.
Very cool, funny scene. And like he even goes, wait 5 seconds before you leave the bathroom.
Yeah, it was good. It's like, I don't know, like, since we're talking about it, it's just the way... everyone's compatibility in the episode is what makes it work well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even Haverhill and Fancy, who don't like each other, play off each other really well.
Mm-hmm.
Sipwitz and Vinny play off each other really well. Simone and Putnam. Like, it's just, that's what makes the episodes good.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily, like, what's going on, even though this episode's, like, kind of interesting about this guy and why he... And you got to realize why he... first went to shooting all these women to strangling all of them. It's just good. Yeah, that's all I can say.
There is another scene in the bathroom where Solomon, like, whimpers for some credit. Simone, because he's a nice guy, gives him some, because he says, is there going to be any room for me on this? And he says, yeah, even though he's like, you don't deserve it, you're a piece of shit. But yeah.
Yeah, he comes groveling because he wants some credit, and...
And he told Simone, he's like, this is the, like, earlier in this episode, or even the first episode, he's like, this is the reason I stayed on this job. And it was like, well, obviously you should have left already.
Which I get it, like, I get that, you know, there's that cliche that some detectives have that one case they never solved, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I get that he might, like, really want to solve it, but, you know, there's just a better way of going about it.
And you were speaking about things that click together. Let's talk about the entire storyline that we don't even really need to mention. There's a woman who comes in because a fire was started outside of her place, and then the guy left a note saying, leave money or this will happen again. Lesniak and Martinez set up a sting, and it's just some weird dude.
Yeah, and it's just some weird dude who, like, he's had trouble at his jobs before with other women. And he's just, like, awkward, and you find out the reason he did it was he wanted, like, the girl to come to him, and he would make her feel safe, and, like, just weird shit. But it was basically to get Martinez and Lesniak in a room, I feel like.
And, there's really awkward scenes where they're working together, and then I think Martinez just goes, you know, I really liked working with you today. And she's just like, same with you. And, like, that's it. It's also really weird because that awkward guy is like, oh, this is, like, she's like, oh, you're going up to Rikers, and he's like, oh, and he's like, what, is it not as good as your place? And he says, no, I heard Webster was in the building, I kind of like to meet him.
It's like, he's probably like a fucking G.G. Allen fan. Like, he's like a guy who's like, G.G. Allen, like, I just had a conversation with some guy at work the other day, and he's like, G.G. Allen's cool, and I'm like, no, G.G. Allen's fucking garbage. His music was shit, he didn't say anything that fucking mattered or was coherent, it's just that he took his own shit and rubbed it on someone. That's why he fucking cared. Like, you're an idiot, you don't get an opinion anymore.
Probably like G.G. Allen. Like, that's like a funny, that's like a great insult for someone. You probably like G.G. Allen.
It's, you know what I mean though? Like,
oh, I get it. I get it completely.
Are you picking up what I'm putting down?
I'm Kyle, I'm picking it up, I'm looking at it, and I'm liking it, and then I'm putting it back down.
Are you grilling on my cheese?
And the episode ends, Kyle, with Benita coming over to Simone's place.
Just slobbering that knob, dude.
Well, it starts, he doesn't have a shirt on. This is what I love about the scene. He doesn't have a shirt on. He's sitting there in, like, pajama pants and no shirt. He puts on a shirt, answers the door. She's like, oh, are you still moving in? He's like, no, I've been here for months, which means he's, like, kind of disheveled. And he's like, can I offer you a drink? And then it gets awkward. And then they start making out, and they're gonna have sex, and he takes off the shirt. And it was like, did you need to put it on for the 30 seconds before it was gonna be taken off?
Yeah, I don't think he was expected to, like, I don't think he knew who was at the door, to be honest. He probably had some kind of, like, he probably had some kind of idea. And you're not gonna answer the, and, like, it's not like they've seen each other naked yet, I don't think.
Mm-mm.
So, you're not gonna answer the door shirtless.
I feel like if, I mean,
and if he's a G, he answers it with a shirt on because then it doesn't look like he's assuming they're gonna fuck. So then he helps lay down the foundation, like, helps her look at it and go, like, oh, he's not thinking we're gonna have sex. Like, he's not pressuring me. I'm safe here. There's no implication.
It's all about the implication, Kyle.
It's all about the implication.
this show is slowly just gonna turn into a show about Always Sunny in Philadelphia. yeah.
Oh, God. Wow.
It's also it's just classic NYPD Blue late night ABC drama.
Yeah. Late night, like,
soft killer.
Show as little at, like, skin as possible, but still, like, try to get people boners.
Show the top part of a man's ass and the complete side of a woman, but not,
yeah,
not the nipple.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how NYPD Blue rolls. And sometimes,
and they end a lot of episodes with man ass.
Man ass is their bread and butter. It's their,
and when they like the beginning and the end has a lot of man ass. They bookend that a lot.
They bookend it, Kyle. Oh, we have fun.
Two big old cheeks.
Anyway, I'm looking through my notes. It looks like we're good. Yeah, I'm not going to mention that note. I wrote down one note, awkward exercise convo between Martinez and Lesniak. They have, like, such a weird conversation, I think, about, like, treadmills. And it's, like, so innocuous and not important that, like, I had to write down what, like, why did this conversation even occur? They just had to be talking about something before the guy picks up the bag in the sting. And they're like, yeah, exercise equipment.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest, going through these again, like, this is, like, my fourth or fifth time. So anything that characters who I don't like say is, like, basically white noise. So I don't know, like, I don't like Lesniak's character. I think it was dumb. Like, there's flaws in this perfect gem of a show. And they get rid of them pretty quickly. Like, Lesniak is a problem. They'll take care of it. But I just think she's a waste, and it's just dumb. She's just not a good, it's just not played well. There are a lot of great female roles. She's just not a good one.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to say about this episode?
No, it's just, it's the Webster episodes of the best.
Mm-hmm, they are the best. I would say that's a good episode. Those are two good episodes to start if you're going to start watching NYPD Blue.
No, start it from the beginning.
But the beginning kind of sucks, and we don't even like it.
Yeah, you still gotta start it, though.
We do have one fan of the show that thinks the first season is the best. He's from the UK, and he says the first season kills over there.
Good.
And I'm telling him, you gotta watch that Simone and appreciate it.
Yeah.
Anyway, every episode...
In the UK, they're probably Caruso fans. It just kind of makes sense, you know?
Mm-hmm. Every episode of NYPD Blue Balls is on AstroBrothersPodcast.com or where podcasts are. Watch more NYPD Blue. And Kyle, do you have anything to say as we go?
There's a dog barking.
Max had something to say.
Breaking Bad's... So last episode, I got upset about How I Met Your Mother and said it was bad. It was worse than Lost. The ending. I still stand by it. So I will talk about... People should go watch Breaking Bad. I've been rewatching season 3, and it's pretty phenomenal.
Alrighty. Have a good one.
It's flawless.
Have a good one.
It's flawless.